when I was doing project management, the thing was behind schedule, we would try to crash the project schedule, which was me just sitting down and figuring out how can I remove all the gaps and squeeze this thing in. But I would do it by myself at my desk and then just go tell the teams, like, here.
Vacation canceled.
Yeah, but the difference here is that you're actually studying the system and figuring out how to improve the system, not how to mandate fasterness.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. How to make a baby in 1 month with 10 women.
Okay. Hey, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to Leading Agile Sound Notes. We are back for, this is the third of our videos about value stream mapping. So Lance Kine and Mary Loiter here. So far, I showed one where it was sort of how value stream mapping could be used by a team to understand their process and take more ownership of the issues they face. Lance showed one last time about how he uses it with clients to help them understand the value of technical coaching and the benefits you can get from that. And now Lance and I are going to get taken to school by Mary, who's going to go all hardcore on real value stream mapping. No. And Lance, you don't know this, Lance, but there's a quiz at the end she's going to give
us. Oh, no.
Yes. There's going to be math and things like that. So
oh,
see what happens.
Right. So I want to give a little shout out to lucidchart.com because I went snooping on the internet and grabbed a couple of really nice visuals to save myself some time. So what I wanted to do is just talk a little bit, and you, Dave, thank you for kind of recapping what we've already talked about. I was gonna say again, I think I shared this in the last conversation, that I really appreciated what you shared because, again, it was the use of a value stream mapping approach to bring a team together, to create a common process, to build that collaboration. Nowadays, I think what we would call that is, again, customer journey mapping or customer experience mapping. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple of episodes.
In the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. And what Lance talked about is what I see as more of the kind of, and I'll say traditional, because it's been around, I think, since the 40s, kind of traditional.
I'm not old, Mary.
Well, it you know, came out of the total quality management area in terms of being able to measure how well a manufacturing process was working. So what I did here is I just wanted to kind of expand a little bit to get a little techie, not super techie, about what, you know, lean value stream mapping can look like. This right here is a current state diagram. And, you know, Lance was talking to us about, you know, different ways to measure. He measures the development process again, so he can sell the benefits of what technical coaching is. And that, again, is a perfect application for using lean value stream mapping, because the whole idea is to look at how long something takes at the very, very beginning to the very, very end, see how much of that time is value added. And that non-value added time is what we would call waste, or if you're really cool, you'd call it muda. I think that's the proper Japanese word.
Is muda. I don't know if cool is the right word for that, but
hey, if it's Japanese, it's cool.
It is cool. Absolutely.
Okay.
So this is again, kind of a current state view courtesy of Lucid Chart. They're a really great company, great tool I've used in my past, but they basically created an example for us where they've done all the calculations here. You know, this entire.
I just want to try to mansplain some of this back for the people that aren't familiar with these.
Yes.
So, because the project manager part of my brain is like all lit up looking at this because it looks like an activity diagram.
Right.
Along the bottom part where it's got the VAT and the LT. VAT is the time that work is being done. That's value added time. And the LT is wait time from one state to the next. So that is weird. That's the muda you're talking about, right?
That's
stuff
right.
Just sitting. And the boxes in there are showing how long everything's taking, who's doing the work, and these are the different states that it flows through. So it is kind of almost mapping out a project or process that you'd follow.
That's
just
right.
The way. So, and you're going, okay. same as the thing I was doing with the team, except I was starting at one end, going back to the beginning. This is showing the actual flow of stuff through the system itself.
Right. So yeah, thanks, Dave, for going through a little bit more detail down here. It's great to know. I think, again, when you walked through your process with your team, when you did the value stream mapping, again, all about collaboration, getting some skin in the game. When we're using lean value stream mapping, it's really all about where's the waste? Where's the muda? How do we get rid of it so we can create more value? And creating more value may be reducing costs. It also might be being able to produce more quickly, which again, I think is where Lance's application was.
This is something I don't understand about this way of looking at work. You've got like where it says LT 144 hours. Is it possible that some of that time is necessary? Like,
Absolutely.
For people to recover from what's going on, the system to cool down, I just think of lean people as looking at waste like it's the enemy. They're like cats chasing mice, trying to get rid of every single bit of fat in the system. But some of that fat you need, just like we need body fat, right?
Right, absolutely. And actually, I'm going to have to research it because I'm not the expert, even though you guys have been giving me a hard time for the last
couple
of days. Because if there is, like, that's a great example. If you have a machine, as in a manufacturing plant, and that machine needs an hour break to cool down, in my mind, that hour break would actually become value-added time because it's kind of a predecessor to being able to do the next cycle of work. But let's take that as an action item. I'll take it as an action item and double check. But you're absolutely right. We need to account for the fact that there's some time in here that, you know, we just might not be able to get rid of.
Yeah. So it might look like waste, but it might not be waste.
Exactly. Okay. And that's why you have to, you know, do your analysis and know where you have an opportunity to increase time, where you have an opportunity to decrease time. Right. And again, this future state example, again, from Lucidchart. Thank you, Lucidchart, is a really nice example because it shows where the person who was looking at this process, this value stream, where they've introduced a couple of new processes. And by doing that, it's decreased a lot of time. We see along here, we've had no change. And then there are places where we've also increased time. But the overall impact of the changes they've made, I'm going to go over here because I tried to prepare. So we didn't have to split the screen. So this was what was up there. This is what's here. And so now I'm going to ask you two, when you look at these two, tell me what can we say about this? What does the value translate to, or what might it translate to? I've got the definitions over here.
Dave's going to get less breaks because the lead time's gone down, and we're going to make him work faster too. That's
but not much harder. Or actually, you're going to work less because the activity ratio goes down to 10%. So you're delivering faster with less effort, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly what that you and it. I do feel like there are a lot of kind of traditional project management, because it's all time motion studies and it's, you know, value.
Back to Frederick Taylor.
Trying to do the same thing. And it absolutely is that application.
So I have two things I want to, I want to mention, one I want to ask about. When I was doing project management, the thing was behind schedule, we would try to crash the project schedule, which was me just sitting down and figuring out how can I remove all the gaps and squeeze this thing in. But I would do it by myself at my desk and then just go tell the teams, like, here.
Vacation canceled.
Yeah, but the difference here is that you're actually studying the system and figuring out how to improve the system, not how to mandate fasterness.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. How to make a baby in 1 month with 10 women.
Okay. So here's the thing that I always used to use when I would talk about value stream mapping. I used to work in a Starbucks. When I worked at a Starbucks, I worked at the first one in New York, and I just go to school for like a month before they would let me work in the store. I could drink coffee and tell you what country it came from. Wow. And there was this way of laying the cups on top of the bar that would tell you what kind of drink they were, because I had to be able to hold like 30 drinks in my head at a time. And the way the cups were placed was the reminder. and I would make four drinks at once. I had four portafilters going at one time. Years later, Starbucks decides that they're going to only allow people to do one thing at a time behind the bar because the multitasking of making multiple drinks at once was creating lots of wasted drinks. So they want to save money. That totally makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So the barista now, who has a machine, which is a push button machine, would push a button and stand and wait. They weren't allowed to do anything else until the drink was poured, which saves them. There's less drinks that have to be remade. But now the line on the other side of the counter is like 30 people deep. So the waste sometimes just gets pushed from one place to another. In this case, they burden the customer with it.
Yep. Absolutely. And that is an absolutely perfect example, because I'm going to go to this example now, which is another value stream. But this is a value stream from the service industry, which Starbucks is. We just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
So the new metric that's introduced here is this concept of cycle time. So, you know, lead time we talked about as being the entire time it takes to go through the process. And that includes the time that the customer is experiencing. And, you know, wait, they've submitted their order and they're waiting for it to get back to them. And then cycle time is actually the amount of time once it comes into, let's say, the factory or Starbucks, and we can produce that coffee and we're ready to set it on the counter. So when you take the difference between the lead time and the cycle time, that's the amount of time that your customer is waiting. And that's, again, a great insight into the customer's experience and, you know, how happy might they be about what's going on at that time. So this, again, just another application of how you can use the concepts of lean value stream mapping to optimize a process and identify where you can improve your customer's experience.
And it's Domino's whole business model, right? 30 minutes or less.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Time is definitely a factor for Domino's, right? If I want a Domino's pizza, hopefully I'm not thinking I'm going to get the best pizza out there, because I know I'm getting a pizza that takes.
You're getting Domino's.
Right. You're getting Domino's. There's an expectation of quality based on wanting to get it fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always used to think about in the fast food restaurants like a McDonald's, when I used to go to McDonald's, how they'd have that like sleeve of burgers just like stacked up and they hadn't even been ordered. And I was thinking, like, I would think that's wasteful, but they're going to throw some burgers away. That's waste. But because they have a forecast of demand based on averages, they can say we're probably going to need max this many. And it's more important to them to be able to get the customer out the door fast, even if that means they're throwing away some burgers.
Right.
That's absolutely the accepted waste. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great example.
Cool.
The last area I'd like to talk about value stream mapping is in regard to what we call business architecture. And this is my definition, so it might not be right, but business architecture is a way that we use a different set of tools in organizations to help them develop what I call a strategic decisioning framework. So they're developed, managed, and maintained as strategic assets. If we do that, then we basically help companies come up with a data-driven strategic decisioning framework. Value stream mapping is one of the foundational domains or types of information that we would gather for a company or an organization and have in their business architecture. Some other aspects or some other types of information concepts we would gather are things like business capabilities, which is the sum total of the people, the process, and the technology in order to deliver some particular ability in an organization.
Okay.
Information concepts, again, it's kind of the business glossary or the common lexicon. What is the way that we're going to define the business objects.
What is a product?
Exactly. What is a product?
Tease a future podcast.
Exactly.
I would love that podcast, by the way. That's a tough one.
It's coming up. And you see the others there. I don't think I need to go through them all. But the whole point is business architecture is a strategic tool set, if I can. And value streams are a part of that as well. And so what I'm showing here, again, it's value stream mapping. It's a little bit different type of value stream mapping, but it's still value stream mapping. And again, that's why you got to go back to what is the problem you're trying to solve when you're figuring out, do I need a value stream from a business architecture perspective, or do I need a lean value stream where I know what I need to do and I'm focused on improve that? I want to share this right here. This is a nice example. Again, I think I got this from Lean. Oh, no, this was from the TOGAF standard, which, again, is publicly available on the Internet. I also do want to do a shout out, though, to the Business Architecture Guild. Have some old friends there, and they are a great resource for anyone interested in developing some expertise in the area of business architecture. This basically just shows this value stream, and it's broken down into the different stages, the description, the stakeholders, you know, entrance, exit criteria, and the value item. And the reason why we do this, we want to make sure that we understand what is happening across that value stream. And the cool thing about value streams and the cool thing about business architecture, I just said it, developing strategic assets, is if you have these defined in your organization and you're managing them, you can take your value streams and you can do what we call cross map your value streams against your capabilities. So these are capabilities here. And then you might have KPIs that you use to measure the performance of your capabilities in the context of that value stream. So at a glance, looking at this, and you know what, now I think of it, I probably should have used the DevOps example, because then I could have, again, picked on Lance's example. But let's say that this yellow and this red are because it takes us forever to get code through and we're having defects. That's some of the triggers. Automatically, I can see this is the perfect kind of visual for an executive. They don't have to look at the details. You have the details in your back pocket, but you can say, hey, we want to go in and dig into facilities management because we know we have a problem there. Here's what we think's going on. And we think if we resolve it, it's going to result in these business results. So this is just a nice way to use, again, value stream mapping and business capabilities together to determine where the opportunities exist in the organization.
So I think I'm tying this back to something that came up on an O&I call, but I just want to check in because of what you just talked about with layering these things. If I know that my KPIs for next year require that I have certain types of skills on board, then we don't have those skills.
Exactly.
And I can look at the value stream and see, oh my gosh, it takes us 8 months to find a software architect that we can deal with in our organization. And we're going to need three of them. Right. We got to start now.
Absolutely.
So you can use it to forecast demand and get the system prepared for the things it's going to have to do, as well as understanding where you are right now.
Exactly. Your road mapping, it's a key tool in road mapping.
I like this because with this capabilities axis on this on this situation or picture or this, it creates from a training perspective, I'm adding capabilities to a team to help them with that value stream. And so now I can make that picture more clear with this type of arrangement.
Yeah. Well, good.
So I'm going to go down the AI rabbit hole for a second. I'm assuming that within a couple years, a lot of this mapping, tracking will all be able to be done by AI. You won't have to get somebody to go run the report. So just do that.
Yeah.
But I'm also assuming, and this is what I want to check in with you on, that it's still going to require a human to interpret it and lay those maps together and look at it and be like, yeah, but this is really what it means.
Right.
Right.
I believe so. I believe it'll take some time and even, with how much AI is delivering to us in terms of being able to do more of the analytical work, we're still going to need people who can take that analytical work and translate it again for our executives who have the relationship skills, to communicate out what's going on. One other thing I wanted to mention here, because I do want to tie this business architecture view of a value stream capability map to the fact that if you are, you know, you run your KPIs and you get your heat map for a particular value stream and you see there's facility management and you know there's something going wrong, you might actually decide, you know, I'm going to do a Lean Six Sigma project in the facilities management area and I'm going to use my Lean value stream mapping to research why that thing is red there. What is going on? Is there something in the process? So you're combining two different types of value stream mapping.
Yeah. But
again, two different goals. This is more of a strategic view to know where to go and dig in and do that detailed analytics. But the lean value stream is more doing the detailed analytics.
So does that mean that then in a really large organization, there might be places where they could look at it and say, well, for this stuff, if we're going to fix it, we're going to have to fix it with traditional project management to a waterfall project for this keep the lights on thing. These other things are more geared towards a lean startup approach. These ones could use Scrum or Kanban. Like you can pick the processes, pick the medicine to solve the problem once you understand what the problem actually is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
That's awesome.
I think that's a great question too, because there are still, you know, we all love Agile and we want to be lean, but there are some very specific like government contracts where it requires us to have to use our traditional project management skills. So
there's a part of me that still wants my Gantt chart. I'd be lying if I didn't say that was true. This has been really spectacular. Lance, you got anything you want to add in here? Like, how does it, I mean, you come from a technical development background. I'm curious as to how this strikes you with that experience. Is this something that's valuable to you, or would this be more people upstairs?
What spoke to me was the mapping of capabilities to the value stream. I think that was pretty cool. And I'm going to steal that one, Mary. The big picture chart, I'm going to ask you to create the share again, but could you show us that big picture chart that's organizational wide? I think you had that at the beginning.
The very first one?
I don't know.
The very first one. Like
she showed about three things. So was it the middle? It wasn't the last.
So this is the
you were talking about business architecture. Where was that at?
Business architecture is over here. I'm sorry. So this is a detailed value stream.
Okay.
So this is the value. So each of these stages is listed down here. And this just shows how the value stream has been elaborated, if you will, the level of details in here, because that's helpful, right, to pinpoint where the issues are. And then this down here is just a cross-mapping example where I've taken that value stream and then I've added the capabilities that are used in each of these stages, applied the performance based on the KPIs, and that gives us our heat map.
You know what I'm hunting for?
Where to go and dig in.
What I'm hunting for is, can you use value stream mapping for debugging the business architecture, i.e. is the architecture wrong? Is it right? Do I need to adjust it, refactor it?
Well, with business architecture, you know, business architecture is supposed to be defined by the business. For the business, it's supposed to represent the business. So I don't know that the business architecture would ever be wrong. It would be in a state of flux, right? Because it's always, it's about continuous improvement, right? Just like lean, it's like you have a set of value streams that you say, these are the things that we do. This is how we deliver value to our customers, our stakeholders. You have your initial business capability model that you map into those value streams to, you know, to use this analytical approach. But if your business architecture, if you are using it as a, in my opinion, a differentiator, because you have eyes across your organization and how well you're performing across your organization. So if you've invested in creating those strategic assets and you've instrumented your capabilities and you can see how well things are performing, you're going to have the right systems in place, the right system in general in place to make sure that you're continuously improving your business architecture. Hopefully that helps. Does that help?
Or couldn't it also, like, let's say that we've got our product owners, we're each working on like four different things at once. And because of other organizational concerns, that is a conscious, intentional choice, which is completely screwing up Lance and his teams because they don't get enough product owner time. And that's causing lots of problems and slowdowns for them.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this is where you're going. I'm not sure, Lance, but that would be, this would surface that problem at that level.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's still an intentional choice. Like, yeah, we're going to bleed on this one because we have other concerns.
Yep.
Is that where you're going, Lance, or not?
I think maybe we're close. I'm not sure. So, and Mary stated wisely a bunch of things like your business architect is, but I'm using value stream maps to critique a delivery value stream. So are value streams also, can they also expose problems in my business architecture, which is a little bit like what Dave was saying, like there's an overloaded product owner. I'm having trouble connecting that with the business architecture part, but it's probably a thing too.
Let's change this. I know we've got a certain example here, but let's just say that this is a DevOps situation or a software delivery situation. Let's see if we have those chevrons. Oh, no.
But they wouldn't be problems. They would be just current states where, like, we've got a hole in the boat right here and we're aware of it.
Exactly.
We can choose to fix it if we need to.
Exactly. So like this. Exactly. Yep.
Because sometimes business architecture needs to be improved in order to get things done better, and we're not aware of where the bleeding is. And so if you can create boxes like you have with the, instead of Confluence, Jira, Java, Jenkins business workflow, it would be higher level. And I'm not sure, I'm hunting here. I'm not sure if this thing exists, but I'm trying to think of an example. So it'd be a multi-team situation, multi-capability situation, multi-business capability situation. And then how does that create value?
So that again, I mean, let's use this example over here, even though it's not a software development. You mentioned, you know, I have a situation where I have product managers that are getting pulled and they're not dedicated and they're supposed to be dedicated. And that's impacting my ability, my business capability. It is impacting my business because, again, remember that business capabilities are defined as the combination of people. Do we have the right people? Process, is the process working, and technology. So we're looking at all three of those things when we're measuring the capability. So in the example you're sharing, Lance, in my opinion, when we assess that particular capability that we're supposed to be getting from those product managers along the software development value stream, it should be yellow or red because what we need from them is critical and we don't have that. So again, it gives us a way to kind of surface up from a kind of an executive perspective. This is red. And it's red because we don't have the resources. We may choose to accept that issue, right? But at a minimum, you're communicating what the problem is and what you need to resolve it. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And now I'm thinking about I'm trying to reconnect now. You said earlier you brought up business architecture and value stream. Can you show us that piece?
Sure. So this is the value stream mapping. And these are just the domains of business architecture.
There's different domains. So
different types of information. And there are lots more. I mean, I just listed here what I had at the top of my mind. There's all kinds of information that you can find in you know, an enterprise architecture solution like MegaHopex. There are quite a few, but you really need a powerful database to be able to store the information so that you can run reports and feed out what you're looking for.
And your focus is on studying and learning the system so you can find the areas you want to improve. And it's not always necessarily going to be like crank out more widgets faster. There might be a lot of other things you're looking at as well.
Absolutely. We might have an internal goal in our enterprise that has to do with employee experience. And it might be then an HR capability which is not anything to do with our, you know, competitive advantage. Likely it's not something we'd be focusing on, but it's something that our CEO wants us to focus on, because there's this bet we're in a place that unless we get this addressed and we get our team members more involved, more engaged, that they're going to go somewhere else. Right. Very real kind of situation. Cool. But that is an application for using business architecture to identify that kind of a problem as well.
This is awesome. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. The key I just want to leave with, because I know some people will probably be watching this and they may have heard the term business architecture. I just really want to stress that it's a tool set that you can use in an organization to make decisions that are data driven.
Cool.
It's not
an intentional.
Yeah, and intentional. Exactly. Exactly. It's not a technical thing. The word architecture sometimes throws people off. It's an IT thing. It's not an IT thing. It's how we can work better in the enterprise.
So, cool. Thanks. All right. So I want to tease the next one. But first, real quick, Mary, if they want to get in touch with you and ask you all kinds of questions about this, what's the best way to track you down?
They're going to have to get a hold of my dog, Flurry, here and make an appointment. No, I'm just kidding. Please go ahead and reach out to me. My contact information is on the Leading Agile website.
Okay, cool. And Lance?
You can catch me on email, lance.kind@leadingagile.com, Twitter, LancerKind, Lance with an R, Kind, and LinkedIn as Lancer Kind.
Cool. And I'm on the Leading Agile site and LinkedIn as well. We'll have links for all that in the show notes. Now, before we go, next time on Value Stream Mapping, what's going to happen next time? Because we're going to change course a little bit, right? What are we going to do with journey mapping?
Yeah, I think we were going to take a look a little bit at journey mapping and again, kind of show how it relates in to value stream mapping as another aspect. And just, you know, a lot of people are familiar with it, but for those who aren't familiar with it, we'll give them a sneak peek at what it is and how we use it as a tool to roll out a product management mindset across the organization.
I'm very excited because I'm one of those people that has a really vague understanding of what it is, and I can't wait to see how it goes. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, great.
Thank you both for being here.
All right. Thank you.
See you.
Thanks. Bye.